Joining us now on the line from Sweden, we have Jesper Jonasson, a senior researcher and a West Africa specialist. And joining us here from South Africa, we have Professor Emeritus André Thomashausen, and we focus on Burkina Faso. Let's first welcome Jesper from Sweden. Jesper, very good morning to you, South African time, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning to you, and thank you for having me.
And André, once again, good morning to you, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Good morning, listeners.
All right, so André, if I can start with you, what's behind Burkina Faso's latest military coup attempt?
Well, we are seeing a déjà vu. We're seeing the replay of a script that is now causing, as Guterres from the United Nations put it, an avalanche of coups, which is the failure of democracy. It's not state failure. It's the failure of democracy. It's failure of the copycat systems imposed in the early 90s on African countries to try and repeat British-style, Westminster-style democracy. So it leads to hunger. Like here in South Africa, half the adult population doesn't know what they will be able to eat tomorrow. And it needs to huge dissatisfaction, and it needs to totally incompetent and corrupt leadership. In this case, the military had gone 2 weeks without food because the government needed to pay for their expensive cars and their tailor-made suits. And at one stage, the pivot was reached, the turning point, and this officer, Damiba, who is not an unknown person, he already did a coup once in 2015, which actually brought to power President Kabore. He took the reins in his own hands, and he said, it's enough now. We will have to find a better way of managing our country.
So, Jesper, was the president scared of the army, and did his actions now backfire?
Well, there has been a problem. The president has always had a problem or a fear that certain factions within the army might conduct a coup. I think we have to distinguish between, of course, the soldiers at the front of the war or the fighting going on in the north of the country, and then the military leadership in the capital. But he definitely had a problem, and what he had been doing recently in recent months is that he had been reassigning posts within the military leadership. So part of the reason for the coup happening now may be that certain officers were not pleased with those that restructuring that the president was undertaking.
André, how much of trouble is President Roch Kabore in?
I think a lot of trouble because he's detained somewhere and nobody knows where it is. And ECOWAS and the AU are helplessly saying that the new leadership in Burkina Faso should not harm Kabore and his people. But definitely, his political career is over. He is the son of a wealthy post-colonial family. His father was a governor of the National Bank. He is a typical product of French education. He did his master's in France. He basically appears and conducts himself as somebody who's more French than the French. And obviously he has very little grounding in the actual country, the actual fate of people in Burkina Faso. So yes, he's in trouble. I think his political career is over.
Jesper, there are reports suggesting that there are different factions within the army, and each faction is demanding something different from the other.
Well, what we've seen, so in the weekend leading up to the coup, we saw soldiers protesting at several different military camps throughout the country. And these are soldiers who, as the professor said, were sort of just under-resourced. They were just claiming basic support from the government. They wanted their salaries paid out, they wanted better equipment, and they wanted more insurance that their families would be taken care of if they should be killed in battle. So those are the soldiers sort of more closer to the front lines of the fighting that they're facing currently. Within the military leadership, of course, you have had generals with close ties to the political elite, and they have been less inclined to shake the boat, so to say. Then you have more sort of mid-ranking officers who have been less impressed by the leadership of the president, and I think that the coup maker Damiba is one of those. So I don't think you'll see sort of factions from within the army competing over power now, but there are definitely sort of divisions within the armed forces, and that was a challenge for the now previous president, and it will be a challenge for the current junta as well.
So, Prof, I mean, seeing military camouflage on state TV usually means the end of normality, right? At least for the time being.
Not necessarily. The AU will have to get used to it that that governments in Africa can change in unconstitutional ways. We see so many countries with similar symptoms. In Mozambique, soldiers are issued with three or four bullets, and they are sent into battle. And they, of course, don't want to go into battle without even enough ammunition. And the same problems arise. There's insufficient food. There's no petrol for the vehicles. Again and again, because of a leadership that escapes the principles of good governance, it steals. And this leadership failure is going throughout Africa. So for many people, to see men in uniform as an image of integrity on the TV screens is actually a relief, a sign of that things might change for the better. And definitely there has been a lot of popular support for this latest coup in Burkina Faso, just like there's been enormous popular support for the coup in Sudan and for the earlier coup in Guinea and in Mali, of course, as well. It is unfortunately we're coming to the end of the government systems in Africa that have failed. The Africa needs to try and improve its governance and its leadership selection methods. Even here in South Africa, there's complete insensitivity when half the population is going hungry, and the leadership carries on collecting Rolls Royces and Bentleys and whining and dining in super luxury restaurants. The trouble is coming.
So, Jesper, how does ISIS come into the picture here?
Right. Well, the Sahel region in West Africa has been facing a range of different groups with some form of jihadist, at least sort of a stated jihadist ambition. And what we've seen in the past couple of years is two major groupings, one tending towards affiliation with Al-Qaeda and the other one the Islamic State in the Greater Sahara. And so there are a lot of different armed groups operating in the region, and some of them do have affiliation to ISIL. But it's a very complicated picture, and we also see a lot of fighting between these groups, so between Al-Qaeda affiliates and ISIL affiliates in the region. So they're not just fighting the armed forces of the states they're present in.
So, Prof, what do you see happening now in the short term? What's likely to unfold in the coming days?
Well, unfortunately, history also teaches us that the inability of democracy to deliver public goods and security to the people does not necessarily mean that the military will be more successful, because these are deeper problems. And the onslaught, the Islamic State onslaught on Mali and then on Burkina Faso, is a reality. It has striking similarities with the onslaught in northern Mozambique. Small armed units come in the middle of the night, burn down the huts, and decapitate people at random. And this is an extreme form of terrorism against which normal governments in Africa have simply do not have the means to control and resist it. So let us hope that Damiba will be more successful than previous coup leaders, that he will be able to mobilize enough national support, enough people support, which is the only thing that can deny support to the terrorism activities because they also depend on local support. So there may have to be a commitment to elections to appease ECOWAS and to appease the AU and for Burkina Faso to be able to trade normally and to have financial operations. Mali, for instance, is now in total isolation. It cannot move goods across the borders. It cannot make international payments. So it might be good if the United Nations could direct some of its attention to this huge destabilization trend in Africa and move away from all the posturing over Ukraine and other rather artificial crises.
Jesper, your thoughts on what's likely to happen in the coming days?
Well, I would just add that so following the attempted coup in Burkina Faso in 2015, there was actually a quite sort of considerable mobilization among political parties in the country, among civil society organizations, and there was a lot of pressure on the military actors to hand back power to a civilian transitional government. And I think we might see something similar here. I mean, there's been a lot of frustration with the former president and the former government, but I don't think necessarily that we should just accept that Burkina Faso is now under military rule. I think that it remains to be seen how long this junta will remain in power. And I do think it's important for the country to find a road back to civilian government at some point.
All right, Jesper and Professor Andre Thomashausen, we thank you both for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good day, everyone.
You too. That was Jesper Janison, a senior researcher and a West Africa specialist, talking to us from Sweden. And Professor Andre Thomashausen was a retired director at the University of South Africa's Institute of Foreign and Comparative Law. We were talking about the attempted coup, whatever you want to call it, in Burkina Faso.